Stumbling to Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. There is no news on the Titans OC search, but I think there may be a reason why there's no news. We'll get to that in a second, but first, I do have to read this text, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Texter says, like, I do not think Tom Brady is coming back. This time last year, I thought Tom Brady was coming back. And I remember Jim Wyatt wrote in his mailbag, I heard him talking about Tom Brady conspiracy theories. And I'm like, I think he's coming back. There's a writer by the name of Greg Allman who covers the Buccaneers for The Athletic. And I had him on SiriusXM like right around this time last year, maybe right after the Super Bowl. And I asked about Brady, and he was like, the Buccaneers don't have the cap space to bring back Tom Brady, so there's no way he could come back, which we know that that's obviously not true, and we know the cap is fake. And then I was like, well, what about Miami? And he was like, that's pretty good conspiracy theory. Ha, 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 ha. It was right. This time, Brady's not coming back. Texter in the text line, and I have got to read this, says, I'm sorry, but it ain't over till Randy Bullock sings. That I like. Brady may wait until this after the spring to see what Rand and Vrabel do in the draft and then realize he's tired of doing nothing and freaking tighten up. Nope. It's over. But I do like that it ain't over till Randy Bullock sings. That I do like. But no. I'm sorry. It's over. So the Titans, we have no news on the Titans and their offensive coordinator search, which is a little surprising. I mean, even TD said, you know, look forward to the Senior Bowl where a lot of guys get interviewed and they talk about different jobs and who may end up going where and all that kind of stuff. And yet here we are, it's the Senior Bowl, and we don't hear about anything regarding the Titans and their offensive coordinator search. All we've really heard is the Titans interviewed Charles London of the Falcons. That checks the box for the Rooney Rule. He's a minority candidate. The Titans interviewed Tim Kelly, who's their passing game coordinator, and we think the leading internal candidate, and that the Titans reached out to Eric Bieniemy. He wasn't interested, and they reached out to Matt Nagy of the Chiefs, and he never got back to him. And so, all of a sudden, I keep wondering when we're going to hear about the Titans' offensive coordinator, and we still haven't heard anything. And so the one explanation would be, there's somebody who's still playing that the Titans are interested in. And sometimes you have to read between the lines with certain analysts. Adam Schefter sometimes is one of these guys where they know, but they can't tell you. And Tim Hasselbeck, who joins the Midday Show every Wednesday, Tim Hasselbeck knows, I think, I'm not sure, a lot more than we do. And I think he knows a lot more than he says sometimes. And I said this with the college football stuff and the conference realignment and the Power Five and the NCAA and breaking away. And I've always said, listen to the top analysts, because TV drives college football. So the top analysts of TV are talking to the top decision makers of TV. And so when they're telling you, there's a difference between I'm telling you and I'm telling you. And you be the judge if Tim Hasselbeck is telling us either what he thinks or what he knows. This was Tim Hasselbeck on the Midday Show 2 weeks ago talking about the Titans' offensive coordinator position.
Here's what I think. I think Matt Nagy was highly regarded for the Bears' job. The Bears, as the head coach, that didn't work out. I think a lot of that could be looked at in terms of, you know, maybe the quarterback situation wasn't great there. The fact that Andy brought him back to Kansas City, I think, speaks to Andy's feeling about Matt Nagy. Whereas, you know, sometimes when guys, you know, leave and get an opportunity, sometimes the head coach is helping him get out the door. Would like to see him leave. And then, you know, and if, when he doesn't hire him back, I think it tells you a little something. So the fact they brought him back, I think, is interesting. And I would say this. I don't think that there's a coach in the NFL over the period of time offensively that's been as good as Andy. And so I think it makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So he was telling us 2 weeks ago, you know, Matt Nagy. Yesterday, on the Midday Show, asked about the offensive coordinator position. Here's what Tim Hasselbeck said.
Look, I think it's Matt Nagy. I think the only reason that it's not already Matt Nagy is because the Chiefs are still playing. Like, now, I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. That's just what I feel has happened. And so I think that's the – like, to me, if Kansas City weren't still playing, I feel like it would have been done by now.
He's telling us. Now, he wanted to go out of his way to say, I'm not reporting that. But it sounds to me like he's telling us. Ian, do you think he's telling us?
I mean, he keeps kind of dropping these hints over the couple of weeks here. And this one, he seemed pretty out there and, you know, firm that he thinks it's going to be Nagy. So I have no reason to doubt him.
So here's my thoughts on that. At first, when I kept hearing Tim Hasselbeck say, Matt Nagy, Matt Nagy, Matt Nagy, at first when I heard that the Titans had reached out to Eric Bieniemy and Matt Nagy, I thought that was just so that they could go to you all after they end up promoting Tim Kelly and say, hey, we tried. I mean, look, we called. They weren't interested. We tried. But I never thought that they were just going to up and change the scheme. And so here's where it doesn't make sense. It makes sense if Nagy's the guy that the Titans haven't announced anything because he's currently the quarterback's coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's currently busy trying to win the Super Bowl. But here's where it doesn't make sense. It doesn't vibe with a system that Ryan Tannehill or Aaron Rodgers runs because they've never run this system. In fact, neither has Garoppolo. Neither has Derek Carr. Neither has Baker Mayfield. So you're changing the system, and these quarterbacks that are veteran quarterbacks, old dogs don't learn new tricks, they have never run this. It doesn't vibe with the system that Rand Carthon is used to in San Francisco, the Shanahan system that Rand Carthon has been looking for players for the last 5 years. So it doesn't vibe with the quarterback they have. It doesn't vibe with the quarterback that they're going to go get, probably, and it doesn't vibe with the GM that they brought in. He's not a Vrabel buddy. Normally, when Mike Vrabel hires coaches, it is a Vrabel buddy. It is a source of comfort. The guy either comes from Ohio State, the Texans, or the Patriots. That's it. Those are the only coaches he hires, or they're internal guys that at one point were cleaning out some ashtrays and now are driving people to the airport, and now they're dialing up the blitz. So I'm shocked by that, right? Like, if it's Matt Nagy, I actually went and looked at Matt Nagy's bio today to see if he ever crossed paths with Vrabel, and he did not. The other thing I don't get, Vrabel already has a quarterback coach in Pat O'Hara. Well, Matt Nagy is by nature a quarterback coach. Most offensive coordinators are. Now, Eric Bieniemy was the running backs coach who they made offensive coordinator in Kansas City. But by all accounts, they don't want, from what I've been told, they didn't want Eric Bieniemy to come back after last year. They wanted to promote Mike Kafka, who was the quarterback's coach, who is now the offensive coordinator for Brian Daboll and the Giants. They wanted to promote him. So Vrabel's already got a quarterback coach who's a Vrabel buddy, Pat O'Hara from Houston, who's never run this scheme. And you're going to bring in Matt Nagy? Now, the line coach is still open, and I think the line coach is the most important offensive coach. But you've already got coaches on your staff. You're going to bring in Matt Nagy and say, here's your quarterback coach, here's your wide receivers coach, here's your running back coach. All right, on we go. Can you do that? I mean, maybe. But it just doesn't vibe with what they already have, which makes me think that the only reason, if Tim Hasselbeck is right, and it is going to be Matt Nagy, there's only really, in my opinion, one reason why that could be. And it is a reason that honestly scares the hell out of me. And we'll get to that coming up. But I do think that when I hear Tim Hasselbeck, again, the first time he was talking about Matt Nagy, is this what he said 2 weeks ago too? Like on top of what he added about how he talked about all the good things? This, we'll get to that as well. I think it's more so like Tim Hasselbeck is telling us he thinks it's going to be Matt Nagy. And I don't know if he's like, I think it's going to be, or I'm telling you, Jared, it's going to be. But it would make sense as to why it's taking so long. But the only reason I can come up with that the Titans would really hire Matt Nagy, and I'm not sure I like it. So we'll get to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, plus what Hasselbeck said as well, 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
Mike, how open are you to changing the offensive scheme?
Well, I think we change things every year. And I want coaches and people, and we had this conversation this morning, of that are versatile, that have multiplicity, that can adjust, that aren't just married to one specific way of looking at a player, of coaching a scheme, coaching a technique. You know, there's a bunch of different ways to rush the passer. It's a bunch of different ways to block or to run a route, outside zone, inside zone. The whole idea is to have people that can function and excel in doing different things. And I want to do that offensively. I absolutely do. I want to do whatever's best for our football players, and they can excel. The young players that we saw this year, you know, finding ways to help them make a jump, and then, you know, the veteran players that we'll have back.
So there you go. That was Mike Vrabel talking about, hey, I want to do whatever is best for our players as far as the scheme is concerned. I want everybody to know every scheme. I want to be able to run everything, and that's great. But you can't ask Lamar Jackson to run Justin Herbert's playbook. So ultimately, you have to have a scheme, and you have to stick to it. And oftentimes, I hear coaches talk about how, oh, the scheme will be whatever we're best at, and we're, uh-huh. But you have to draft to the scheme. You have to sign free agents towards the scheme. Bob has told me, you know, there's no, Coach Shoup has told me, yeah, that's great, but in the NFL, you do have to focus on your scheme. And the scheme is the Shanahan offense, which is a derivative of the West Coast offense from Bill Walsh, as is the Andy Reid offense, which is a derivative of the West Coast offense, but they are different. And Matt Nagy, Tim Hasselbeck, has just hammered as the next offensive coordinator of the Titans, went out of his way yesterday to tell the midday show, you know, I'm not reporting anything, but I think it's going to be Matt Nagy. Apparently, Ian even found this going all the way back to pre-Rand Carthon. Tim Hasselbeck thinks Matt Nagy is going to be the offensive coordinator of the Titans.
Tim, do you have a sense? You lean in one way on all of the candidates that have been swirling around this GM job?
So for the GM job, no. I think Matt Nagy ultimately ends up being the offensive coordinator. You know, I think that's, you know, kind of that direction.
I mean, it sounds like he thinks it, like he knows it's going to be Nagy.
I mean, he makes it sound that way, but I don't know.
So if it is Nagy, and I thought 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that was crazy talk. But considering they haven't named anybody, maybe it is. They don't run the scheme of any of the quarterbacks that they could get. So you'd have to teach every single player on that team a new scheme, including Derrick Henry and all your offensive linemen, although you're going to get new offensive linemen. But if it is Nagy, think about this. Think about this. This is what's wild. You think Vrabel's calling that shot? No. I said, see, this is what scares me if they hire him. I love the idea of Vrabel hiring an offensive coach that he's not buddy-buddy with. That's normally not what he does. 90% of his hires since he became the coach of the Titans have been his buddies. The one guy that wasn't was Matt LaFleur, and Vrabel hated him. So normally I would think that Mike Vrabel's going to continue with the buddy system. That's what he's always done. Shane Bowen came from the Texans. Dean Pease came from the Patriots. Arthur Smith came from within. Todd Downing, same story. You know, he's got Tim Kelly right there from the Texans. That's his guy. So if he goes Matt Nagy, I think that that is coming from ownership. And what I think that is, and you see this with ownership often, is it's not, I want you to hire that guy. It is, why can't we be like the Eagles? Why can't we be like the Chiefs? That's what that is. That is the owner going to the coach and not telling the coach, you need to hire Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator under Nick Sirianni for the Philadelphia Eagles. Or you need to hire Matt Nagy, the quarterback's coach. Or you need to hire Mike Kafka, the offensive coordinator under Brian Daboll, who was the quarterback's coach last year in Kansas City. But it is a, man, I watch what the Eagles do, and I watch what the Chiefs do. Why can't we be like that, coach? We want to be like that. You know, for years, there's always these rumors about who Jeff Fisher and who Floyd Reese wanted to draft with the third overall pick in the 2006 draft. The Titans drafted Vince Young, who, if you're over the age of 30, you remember at Houston was an absolute freaking superstar. If you're not, you think, Vince Young? But Vince Young was the hottest thing in college football when he won the national championship and carried Texas there and beat that great USC team. Bud Adams, living in Houston, like every other Texan in that state, was obsessed with Vince Young. And Bud Adams told Floyd Reese, you know, I really like Vince Young. Now, I must have asked Floyd 9,000 times who he wanted to draft with that pick. And every time he would say to me, who'd we pick? Vince. And he'd shrug his shoulders and say, well, that's who I wanted. But I still to this day don't know if that is of the three quarterbacks, Matt Leinart, Vince Young, and Jay Cutler, if that is who he actually thought was the best quarterback at that time. I have no idea. Jeff Fisher, we all know, wanted to draft Matt Leinart. Now, he's gone on record since he's got the stats, and he can go back and with the luck of hindsight say that he wanted Jay Cutler. But we know that he wanted Matt Leinart. He hired Matt Leinart's offensive coordinator, Norm Chow, which was also an unmitigated disaster for the Titans. But I'll never know who Floyd wanted to draft. I've asked Floyd's kids, who did Floyd want to draft? And they don't know. And the reason is because once the owner came to him and said, I really like Vince Young, they're going to draft Vince Young. When the owner says, I want to be like that, that's what you do. So Mike Vrabel has his hand-picked guy from the Texans as the passing game coordinator on this football team, a guy who was a previous play caller and a previous offensive coordinator who knows the system the Titans run with the quarterback that it's probably inevitable they're going to bring back in Ryan Tannehill, and he's one of his buddies. He's from the Texans. Vrabel loves that comfort. And instead, he's going to go hire a guy who he's never crossed paths with in Matt Nagy, who runs an offense that Mike Vrabel doesn't run, that the Titans haven't drafted players for, don't have necessarily the quarterback who runs it, and the quarterback has never run this, and they're going to hire him. To me, that's an ownership thing. That is a, look what the Eagles have done with Jalen Hurts. Why can't we be like them? Look at what the Chiefs have done with Patrick Mahomes. Why can't we be like them? Andy Reid's always good on offense. Look at what Doug Peterson has done with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he runs this system. Why can't we be like him? And again, it only scares me because I don't like the owner making decisions like that. The owner is entitled to make whatever decision that, in this case, she wants to make. And I can disagree with them, and I did when they fired John Robinson. But it just feels like if they do hire Matt Nagy, and boy, Tim Hasselbeck is all in. Ian, can we get that cut from yesterday again where he talked about Matt Nagy? I mean, to me, this sounds like he is 100% sure that they are going to hire him. If this is the case, they are probably getting this as a directive from ownership. This was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday.
Look, I think it's Matt Nagy. I think the only reason that it's not already Matt Nagy is because the Chiefs are still playing. Like, now, I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. That's just what I feel has happened. And so I think that's the – like, to me, if Kansas City weren't still playing, I feel like it would have been done by now.
Okay. I mean, he's saying right there, like, hey, I'm not telling you, I'm not reporting, I'm not Adam Schefter here, but it's going to be Matt Nagy. It's going to be a system that you don't run, a system that Mike Vrabel has never been a part of, a system that your quarterback has never run, a system that your general manager has never gone out to scout players for. It's going to be something totally new to everybody. It's going to be somebody, it feels like, that is totally new to everybody. Mike Vrabel doesn't do things like that. Mike Vrabel doesn't just go out and get guys that he doesn't know. But this might be different. Just like when they hired Matt LaFleur to be the offensive coordinator and Vrabel didn't know him and it was because we want to be like the Rams, it feels like if they hire Matt Nagy as the offensive coordinator for the Titans, it's because we want to be like the Chiefs. We want to be like the Eagles. 615-737-1025. Get your phones on this. There is one general manager that went on the record that I said something that most general managers would never say. And it is eye-opening to me, and it may be why Amy Adams Strunk wants this system. We'll get to that next, and then we're to your phone. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What are the things that you're looking for, the qualities you're looking for in your next offensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, again, if you hear me talk, it's about guys that can lead and make a connection with their coaching staff, with the players, that have some level of multiplicity, that can, you know, figure out ways to run the football, whether you run and you use the quarterback or whether it's an outside zone, whether it's gap scheme. Like, I got it. You know, I mean, I've sat in a lot of different meetings. I got all the different schemes. I want to make sure that, you know, we find a few that we like. Would hope that we can teach the players and that they can understand and they can have the confidence to go and do their job. You know, somebody that, you know, we got to score some points. You know, we've been efficient. One thing we have been in is around here is efficient in the red zone. You know, that hasn't changed no matter who was running the offense. But we just have to get down there more often. You've heard me say that. So if we can continue to be efficient and looking at how we have created those game plans and what we've done to prepare in that regard, if, you know, finding a way to translate that to our first and second down and, you know, still staying efficient in the red zone and scoring points and protecting the quarterback.
There you go. Mike Vrabel asked what he wants in his new offensive coordinator. We like to score points. We'd like to get the ball down there. We'd like to move it down there a little bit more into the red zone. We'd like to score some points. Bravo. But, again, the Titans have not named an offensive coordinator. They reached out to Matt Nagy. They reached out to Eric Bieniemy. They interviewed Tim Kelly, and they interviewed Charles London from the Falcons, who is their quarterback coach. And yet, it seems like Tim Hasselbeck keeps saying to everybody on the midday show, he's telling us it's going to be Matt Nagy. And so there is one thing in particular that I feel like if they were to go the route of Matt Nagy, and let me state for the record, I have no clue what they're going to do. But if they were going to go the route of Matt Nagy, again, I think this is an ownership-driven thing. This is a Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles, and now he's already in the divisional round of the playoffs with Jacksonville. He comes from the Andy Reid tree. Nick Sirianni. He comes from the Andy Reid tree. He's got Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid never loses. So I want to do things the Andy Reid way. And Matt Nagy would be your option because Matt Nagy is the quarterback coach and Kansas City cannot block the Titans from hiring him. So that's why, hey, let's interview him. He's a quarterback coach. Rick Spielman, who's a former general manager in the NFL, he was with the Vikings for about 20 years. Rick Spielman now works for CBS. When you get the former GM and coach types, and sometimes players, into a media role, sometimes they don't really tell you the truth. They talk a lot without saying anything. When Floyd was on ESPN, he was a master at that. He never said anything. He just sat up there and talked, and it sounded good on TV, but it really wasn't a, what do you think of this player, what do you think of that player kind of thing. Rick Spielman is apparently not worried about what everybody else thinks about what he thought as general manager of the Vikings. Because he put out, his top 10 list of quarterbacks that he evaluated in Minnesota since 2017. And Rick Spielman has Trevor Lawrence as the number one quarterback that he evaluated. Now, a lot of these guys, because they're trying to impress other people, they will revise their list. They won't really tell you the truth. Rick Spielman didn't do that. Trevor Lawrence won. Again, this is since 2017. His grades on these quarterbacks coming out. Trevor Lawrence, number one. Joe Burrow, number two. Justin Herbert, number three. Bryce Young, number four. C.J. Stroud, number five. Tua Tagovailoa, number six. Justin Fields, number seven. Will Levis, number eight. Josh Allen, number nine. Patrick Mahomes, number 10. Now, at least he's being honest. And he was asked about that because a lot of people would say, Mahomes 10? You have Mahomes 10? You've got Will Levis graded higher coming out of Kentucky than Patrick Mahomes. This was Rick Spielman, former Vikings general manager on CBS, explaining what he has seen out of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, no, I went back to where we had him coming out of college. Now, things change. As you can see, Patrick Mahomes would probably be the top of the list if you'd redraft like a lot of the experts do. But coming out, Patrick Mahomes still had a lot of holes in his game. There was no question about the arm talent, but he was a little bit of a gunslinger and questioned in that air raid offense whether he would fit into an NFL scheme. And I thought Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs, did a phenomenal job adjusting their schemes to make him who he is today. So, but this is how I had him. If we were drafting and all these guys were coming out the same year, this is how I came up and compiled this list.
I mean, this is the same guy who on the video chat during the 2020 draft cracked the biggest smile in the world when Philadelphia drafted Jalen Reagor so that they could take Justin Jefferson. Like, this guy knows what he's doing. Minnesota has a good team this year. It wasn't the new general manager. It was him. And he's telling you that all things being equal, if the Vikings were on the clock and they had the Will Levis that came out of Kentucky and the Patrick Mahomes that came out of Texas Tech, he's telling you he's drafting the Will Levis. So he's telling you this is how good of a job Andy Reid does with quarterbacks. And it is obvious that a lot of these guys share the same traits. It's almost like the opposite of the Belichick tree. With Belichick, it's like, oh, we got to get a guy like Belichick. And then you hire Matt Patricia or Joe Judge or Romeo Crennel or Charlie Weiss. With the Andy Reid guys, it's you get Doug Peterson, you get Matt Nick Sirianni. Now, sometimes as head coaches, those guys don't totally work out, but that would make sense then if you go get Matt Nagy as your offensive coordinator and you say, okay, let's draft a quarterback and let's do what you've done as a quarterback coach under Andy Reid, offensive coordinator, let's do that with the quarterback that we are drafting. It makes sense. Tannehill starts this season. You move up in the first round. You draft Bryce Young, which, honestly, of all the quarterbacks out there, I like him the best. But you move up, you draft Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or whomever, and Tannehill starts next year, and they sit on the bench, and Matt Nagy trains them. Just a thought. Again, Mahomes is incredible today, but it's not like Rick Spielman saw that when he was coming out. He had Mahomes ranked 10th behind Will Levis. Joe Burrow, he had ranked 2nd behind Trevor Lawrence. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kenneth has been waiting patiently and is up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Kenneth?
Hey, how you doing, Jared?
Good.
I got a point. Just think about this. The people they've been interviewing, the London guy in Atlanta, he's a quarterback coach, right?
Sure.
Then they're talking about Matt Nagy is a quarterback coach, right?
Yes.
And you were talking about what Hasselbeck was talking about, that he know he's going to be the offensive coordinator, and he's a quarterback coach. Have you ever thought about them thinking about keeping Tannehill for one more year, bringing him in to work with Malik? Because I read a statement where they...
Kenneth, don't you think Malik kind of sucks?
I mean, but what did they say about Mahomes? He had Mahomes.
I mean, again, going back to this Rick Spielman list, and I know it's crazy to say, you had Mahomes 10th behind Will Levis, but he also had Mahomes ahead of Mitch Trubisky, who went second overall in that draft. He had Mahomes ahead of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. And he, I mean, you know, according to this list, he had those guys, you know, Mahomes ahead of those guys, and those guys ended up going first and third and things like that. Malik went in the third round.
Just think about what I'm saying. Just think about what I'm saying, though. You know
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that they bring in Matt Nagy to work with Malik Willis. And I got to tell you, thank you for your call, Kenneth. I am tired of the Malik Willis talk. Malik sucks. Malik sucks. I heard, I'm just going to say this. I heard that one of the bigger, I think this is fair to say, right, Ian? One of the bigger bones of contention between Vrabel and Robinson?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that might be fair.
Okay. So one of the bigger bones of contention recently or lately or towards the end, and from what I've been told, John Robinson has nothing but respect for Mike Vrabel. And that John Robinson loves Mike Vrabel, and John Robinson does not think, and I haven't talked to John about any of this, but this is just what I've heard, that John Robinson does not feel like Mike Vrabel stabbed him in the back. But that one of the bigger issues between the two at the end was Malik. That Mike Vrabel, who was college buddies and teammates with Luke Fickell at Ohio State, the guy who brought him into the coaching profession, that Mike Vrabel wanted Desmond Ritter. And that John Robinson was the one who drafted Malik. Guys, Malik sucks. Now, I don't make that a huge deal as far as throwing Robinson under the bus, like, you terrible general manager, you drafted Malik and he stinks because it was a third-round pick and it was your second third-round pick and your starting right tackle was your first third-round pick. But Malik stinks. And the amount of you who text into the text line or call into the show or tweet about thinking there's a future with Malik Willis, no, he's awful. Would a better scheme help him? Sure. But even his body language and the way he talked after games, you know, just Buck asking him if he was comfortable and him talking about the stat sheet in your fantasy team as if anybody has Malik Willis on their fantasy team. No. Out. Not interested. No, thank you. I don't even think he's a backup right now. Malik is not good. It reminds me of, there used to be a basketball player by the name of Russ Smith. Ian, do you remember Russ Smith when Louisville won the national championship?
Yeah, I do remember him at Louisville.
So Russ Smith scored like 38 points a game. And they went to a couple Final Fours and everything. They won a title. And the NBA didn't like Russ Smith very much. And I was doing Louisville radio at the time. And it was, how can they not like Russ Smith? And a lot of it was about his size. And somebody called in and started talking about Allen Iverson. And I was like, whoa. And the guy I was working with, and I was, you know, the sidekick at the time, the guy I was working with was like, what's wrong with that call? I said, Allen Iverson was the number one pick in the draft. There is a difference between, oh, this guy might go at the end of the second round or may not be drafted and may not have an NBA career, and Allen Iverson. So when you're talking about, you know, can Matt Nagy come in and make Malik Willis, Patrick Mahomes? No, Malik's bad. He's not any good, and we do not need to waste any more time talking about him because he may not even be on the team next year, and he probably shouldn't be. 615-737-1025 is the phone, and we'll get back to your phones. 615-737-1025. So something that we didn't want to talk about yesterday, and I still really don't want to talk about it today, but I feel like it needs to be addressed. It was all over the news yesterday. It was all over Twitter yesterday. It was all over. You guys texted in about it. And I think it's important to note that, to me, this is the line. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 through the game. Stillman & Company, it's a sad day around here with the retirement of Tom Brady. This is a fun show. You know, I always tell people, and I can read when people, you know, get mad in the text line, and I understand that half the audience doesn't like me and that they hate listen. I'm fine with that. That's cool. We're all having fun. It's sports. So yesterday, a bunch of people were texting into the text line, and it started to blow up on Twitter a little bit, and people kept asking about it, and I didn't reference it, but Todd Downing is currently in a Williamson County jail serving time for his DUI after the Packers game on Thursday Night Football late in the year. Titans win that game against the Packers. I end up walking 2 miles in 20-degree weather, and Todd Downing on the way home gets popped for a DUI. Now, a lot of that story was nuts. You know, the whole death threats thing, speeding home, drinking and driving, and you know I'm against all of that. But yesterday a mugshot was going around, and at first it looked like Todd Downing had gotten another DUI, but then we found out that in fact he was just serving time. And I believe Todd Downing is going to be serving time until Thursday, but I don't know. And the bigger story with this is I don't care because it's none of my business. And I thought that yesterday when people kept asking about it, you know, we would get texts into the text line that, have you talked about the Todd Downing news? And I'm like, no, because it's none of my business. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with the Titans. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. And so when I saw it on the news last night, I was riding the bike watching the news as I was, you know, listening about the ice and everything else that's out there. And they had that on the news, talking about how Todd Downing was serving time for the DUI. And I'm like, okay, if it's going to be on the news and it's going to be on Twitter, then I can address it like this. But I do feel like there were a lot of people that were posting that new mugshot like, ha, 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 enjoy the slammer. And I'm like, really? Like, that's going to be the way that people approach this? And I decided when I saw it on the news last night that this is going to be the opportunity where I tell you where the line is. I say guys suck all the time, and they do. I say this guy, his head's not in the game. This guy's too busy doing this. This coach doesn't have a clue. This guy sucks. This guy, all the time. And I think sometimes maybe that's where people say, okay, where's the line? This is the line for me. Todd Downing and whatever happens to him, the legal system and everything else, has nothing to do with me. It is none of my business. Now, if Todd Downing were still the Titans offensive coordinator and there was a possibility that he wouldn't be coaching the first four games next season because of discipline from the NFL, now it's my business. Years ago, I was talking to somebody. There were rumors about a player in town that was partying too much. And there was some thoughts that a coach or maybe some of the people in the front office, you know, weren't very happy about this player that was making an exorbitant amount of money, that was spending too much time out at the bars. And I was kind of talking about it with somebody, and they said, that's none of your business. And I said, except that it kind of is. If a guy doesn't play well because he parties too much, that's part of the story. If we're going over the NFL draft and we're talking about, do you take Scotty or do you take Stevie? And Scotty goes out and parties with strippers every night and Stevie's in bed at 8:30 p.m., that matters. So that should be discussed. But once you're no longer a part of the team, or you're not in the stratosphere of the day-to-day activity, then talking about it, in my opinion, is just kicking a man while he's down. And I'm not interested in that. I don't know Todd Downing really at all. I don't think he's a very good coach. And I'm glad he's not the offensive coordinator of the Titans anymore. But just the amount of people yesterday, when are you going to talk about the news? What am I supposed to say? Drinking and driving is bad? It is. I mean, it's embarrassing for him that he has to go serve. I mean, think about this. And I'm not making Todd Downing out to be the victim here by any stretch of the imagination, because he did what he did. But Todd Downing gets fired as the offensive coordinator, and now he's in a jail. I mean, that's not my business. He's not going to get another job as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. And he knows that. So just yesterday, all the talk about, you know, what do you think, or graphics that source confirms. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I understand it's newsworthy, but it's really not anybody's business anymore. And I say this as somebody that knows. If I were to get popped with a DUI, and I said this when Todd Downing got his DUI, that it was reckless and that it could have killed somebody. But that I know people that have DUIs, and they're not bad people. But I said this knowing that if I were to get popped with something like that, there would be celebration on the internet. I mean, it might go to one end of the city to the next of people celebrating the demise of Jared Stillman. And nobody thinks about my family, and nobody thinks about... And I get that. I understand that comes with the territory. I remember when Jason Whitlock was debating whether or not I was a racist on Fox Sports 1 because DeAndre Hopkins said I was. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. But there also, to me, is a line. And this is the line. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And I just felt like saying, like, okay, this is the one time I'm going to talk about this, and this is going to be the one time that I tell you, like, this is where the line of this show is. If a guy stinks, we will tell you he stinks. If a guy needs to go, if he needs to be traded, if he's selfish, if he's distracted, if he's partying too much, it's all part of it. If the guy's a regular civilian and is no longer making the money, it's not the same. I used to always say this about college when I worked on the air in Louisville. It's really uncomfortable to be on the air in a college town where you're talking about the players. Now, I know the players are getting paid a little bit now, but we're talking about 18, 19-year-old kids that aren't making any money. You know, that's not the same as Ryan Tannehill making $30 million. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Now that Tom Brady is gone, and now that he is off of the hot board, he is off of the possibilities for the Titans, there's really only one place for them to turn. And there's really only one way for them to go, and Mike Vrabel has already said it. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.